The Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome once again to the Two Johnnies Podcast. We're bringing you all the news, fun and crack from the world of the Two Johnnies and beyond.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Lads, podcast number four. We've made it this far. No one shut us down. Thanks so much for rating, reviewing and telling your friend about the podcast.
Subscribing.
Subscribe, lads. 46% of you aren't subscribed.
Yeah, come on.
I'll box the forehead off the 46% of you, I swear to God.
Get it together now. Get it, come on, boys.
Now, we've been getting comments in from all around the world, John, haven't we?
That's right. We had a man in from Dubai.
Dubai.
And he goes by the name of Twilly. Now, that is, of course, Snapchat, so Twilly might not be his actual name. And thanks for snapping in all the way from Dubai, Twilly.
And there's also no way of finding out if that is a man or a woman. Is there Twilly?
I think his name is Tall Willy.
Tall Willy, okay. And we got another comment in from Mind Fingers. A class handle. Excellent work, lads. Keep up the good work. Noel's news is quality. F and Eddie needs to make an appearance on the podcast.
Well, I can't argue with that. And if you don't know who F and Eddie is, get on to Google immediately. Well, after the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to the podcast first. But watch this space, lads, on F and Eddie. Watch this space, right?
Leave it with us.
On this week's podcast, lads, it's Mother's Day. We're going to be talking to the two women who brought the two Johnnies into the world.
Kicking and screaming.
God help us, somehow we have our mothers on the podcast. It was a slow news week.
Yeah, thanks for that one, Maura.
We're also asking if it's really worth going to college. Is it worth your while going to college?
There's going to be a heated debate.
A heated debate in that one. Getting our weekly news roundup from hurler and conspiracy theorist and also extremist, probably. Noel Furlong will be in with Noel's news.
Maura's mystery topic.
We'll also be discussing what three people we'd like to go on a night out with, and we'll be giving you our yurts and dirts as well.
Now, Mr. Chairman, rounding up, of course, some issues arising from last week's podcast on communions.
Yeah, processions are a thing. Gagster in Castlebar said it was a month or so after the communion, all the kids walked through the town in their outfits, and he said he grew so much in that month, he had to be buried back into the clothes to walk up the town.
And he did not explain where he got the nickname Gagster.
I feel like I don't want to know.
I'm sure his name is Garvin or something, and it's just pure Gary?
He's trying to be cool.
And Peter in Mogheely in Cork. Oh my God. Cork,
I tell you, I didn't want to pronounce that now. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you.
What is it with Cork people in language? They just make it up as they go along. Ah, there's a new village out the road there called... Yeah, you know. It's a Cork thing you wouldn't know, boy.
If you're listening from Mogheely, it sounds like somewhere in Africa.
I think it's pronounced Mogheely.
Mogheely.
Mogheely, yeah.
Thank you, Maura.
Maura, she's just on the phone to RTE there. I got the pronunciation. The procession is about 2 weeks after our communion. They walk around in their communion clothes, and some people actually call that Corpus Christi. Got 500 or 600 Snapchats on people confirming that it is called Corpus Christi.
Now we know. Now a great communion story from over in England. It came in from Jono20 on the Snapchat. He said, love the podcast, lads. Two quick communion stories. Friend of his is a teacher up near Stoke over in England. And 1 year, one of the girls had a communion dress with fairy lights all over it, right? And just as she was going up to get the first communion, her mother pressed the button and Ave Maria started playing from the dress. Oh my God, lads. I don't want to know what's up. And also in the school he teaches, they regularly have horse-drawn carriages and Hummers for the communion. I tell you one thing, lads. I've seen it all. I can't see somebody going down the main street of Roscrea or Care in a horse-drawn carriage now to a communion.
Or a Hummer.
Or a Hummer to a communion.
There was a lad locally now, he owned a pub, and at his funeral... he was towed to the church on a horse-drawn carriage and his coffin was up on the pool table.
Oh my God.
So they mounted the pool table on a trailer and he had a lad in the bagpipes out in front of him and they went the whole way down the town.
It turns out he loves snooker. And they put him on the pool table.
You know what I mean? I think he was buried with the white ball.
Jono20 also said that one of the fellas mate in his communion turned up in a pair of snakeskin cowboy boots. He was like something out of Narcos. Lads, keep getting in contact with us. Keep your comments coming in.
We had a woman from Wexford. She Snapchatted me saying that she bought a heifer in calf with her communion money. And 10 years later, she's had loads of cows out of it. So that communion money is still earning money for her.
And also, arising from last week's podcast, paying for first dates. Myself and Maura were having this out last week. Cariona on Instagram said, I'll take Johnny Smacks for dinner. You will be getting a DM. I'll be slipping into DMs right there. Now, also Emma on the Snapchat, Johnny.
Emma Murray. She said, around Christmas there, she wasn't feeling too... Not feeling too good, exactly, to be honest now, lads. She tried it out with a fella. I think he was fairly rude. Not a bit of manners on him. And not that I expected him to. He didn't pay for it, lads. I see this now. He didn't pay for it. And I noticed that not once did he offer to pay for Anton. Not even a hot chocolate.
Miserable fucker.
On a first date. A month or two went by, and we were around town at Christmas festival, queuing up to go on the Ferris wheel. Tickets were a fiver. He went up first, and she's like, yeah, this is it now. He's definitely going to pay for something. He pulled out a nice, crisp 20 note. Hands it in. Pays for one. Gets his 15 euro change.
Jesus.
He got the chop.
He got the P45, that fellow. What? He was definitely from Carlo or somewhere that lad, I'd say.
Cavan.
We're joking, he's from Cavan.
Big shout out to all my relatives in Gowan up in Cavan.
So the weekly roundup, Johnny. What went on in Two Johnny's Land this week?
We had a hometown gig. That's right. We couldn't say no. Literally, the whole committee called up to the house and we couldn't say no. They were thinking about doing a Strictly Come Dancing as a fundraiser, but instead we got roped in and had to do our comedy show in Care last night, and it went down fairly well. We are barred out of several establishments and houses after absolutely burning, cutting the backs off all our former managers.
There was people standing at the back because they wouldn't sit in the front row.
Yeah.
That is no word of a lie. Yeah, they were absolutely petrified. There was fellas nearly half afraid to laugh, I'd say.
And a manager who dropped us last year, he got a particular roasting.
Oh, he got a good grilling.
Yeah.
But this week now, we're making a couple of videos in the lead up to the club All-Ireland final. We're heading off to Dalkey, up to Coola tomorrow. On Tuesday, we'll be in Limerick visiting the Pearshig.
Yeah.
Them videos will be going out over social media in the next few days. You'll see them. They'll be cracking, I'd say.
I'm looking forward to that. I mean, Dalkey wouldn't be a hurling stronghold now in Ireland. Oh. Dalkey's on the south side of Dublin, the posh part of Dublin.
We'll be well out of place up there.
But they're baiting small ball.
I'll have to buy a dinner jacket, I'd say, going up there, will I? Should I bring my dinner jacket? I don't know.
Snap us in. What is the dress code in Dalkey at 12 noon on a Monday? Thank you.
Also, this weekend is Paddy's weekend coming up.
Yeah, buddy.
We are heading to Edinburgh. We're doing a gig in the Three Sisters on Friday the 16th of March. We're on the bill, the Rubber Bandits, Boys Life, Jedward, all the great duos, lads. If you're in and around Edinburgh, give us a shout in.
Three Sisters, Two Johnnies.
Now, for the weekend that was in it and Mother's Day and everything like that, we said we'd have a couple of special guests on the Two Johnnies podcast. And I'm pleased to announce our first guest on this podcast is my own mother, Trish, a.k.a. Mammy Smacks. Welcome to the podcast, Trish.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here, I think.
No, it's not.
How's your Mother's Day going, Mammy?
Well, not great now, to be honest with you.
What happened?
I was promised the sun, moon and stars, but it didn't work out. Because Jonathan rang me and said, sorry, Matt, I can't make it. He had promised me dinner and he told me he couldn't make it.
Why is that, Trish?
He said he was up to his tonsils with work.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Busy man.
Johnny, do you have another job? I don't know that. So what happened? What did you do for Mother's Day, Trish?
I ended up eating a salad roll. And
You mean he sent you up a salad roll?
No, I actually made it myself, Johnny.
You made yourself a salad roll on Mother's Day?
Yeah. How sad is that?
Oh my God.
I'm very sorry, man. Look, you're here now.
My mother had to cook dinner for six of us, so, you know.
No, she didn't.
My mother doesn't cook, John. No, I was reared on takeaways. You wondered. Did you not see the photos I put on Instagram? I'm around 40 stone at the confirmation.
That's why they called you the burger.
The burger.
I know, it was cuddly, though, wasn't it?
Cuddly, yeah. Cuddly. Cuddly is a nice expression. I would have said morbidly obese.
No, he looks like he was spoiled now. As a grown man, he strikes me as a boy who was spoiled, Trish.
Yeah, he was. Spoiled brat, Johnny.
Well, what did you do from now?
Everything. Everything, even wipes. Behind.
Nose.
I thought you were going to say you were still cutting me toenails at 17.
Well, I was doing that too.
All right, Matt, I didn't get you on here to go to town on me now. But we were chatting earlier on about presents. And I got your present for one Christmas there. I got you a set of candles, lovely blue and gold candles, if I remember them. And what happened, Matt, with the candles?
Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm not a bad mother.
Well, debatable.
These candles. Now, I actually probably bought them myself. I probably gave them the money for them anyway. So that takes a sting out of it. These candles were all glittery.
Right.
And they used to wreck my head. I moved them everywhere in the house. Then I said to my husband one day, I said, these have to go. And he said, you're going to throw them out? I said, yeah. So John was going to school and I got the candles. Opened the wheelie bin. Now, I actually put them down in the bottom, covered them with everything.
Oh, I find them.
And he actually found them.
Found the candles.
He was heartbroken.
What, you just happened to be rooting through the bins, was it, Johnny?
No, because I knew they disappeared in the house. Now, the way the mother tells that story is I moved them around for ages. She put them up for around 20 minutes and then fucked them into the bin. That's exactly what that's a shortcut of that.
No
but,
way.
But like later in the podcast, we're going to be chatting about college, man, stuff like that. Do you remember when I went to college?
Yeah, I do.
Were you glad to get rid of me?
I missed you for a while.
20 minutes.
You had some crackdown there. Every Friday you come home, he'd have a haircut and he'd have something new on him. So, I mean, I don't know.
I lived the dream down there, Matt, for the 1 year of college I managed.
Yeah, and I used to give him two big bags of messages of a Sunday night. I used to pay this little girl, Niamh, to bring
she
him
back.
She
wasn't a little girl, but she was a grown woman, like, you know.
Well, yeah, but anyway. I used to pay her petrol and give him 100 euros.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. 100 euro in college, lad. I was lording it.
So, seriously, what did I do wrong, John?
You know he now has shares in the Dome Bar.
But you were always a massive supporter of my career, man, weren't you? Like, you know, when I was up in the room practicing singing and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a liar. tell the people listening to this podcast what you used to be saying to me.
Oh, lads. He would just go, man, I'm going up to sing. I'd say, oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. And I could hear him, and I would say, oh, God. Right, someone has to tell him he can't sing. So I would just get the brush and say, shut up! And, you know, he just sang. And
what would he sing?
Ah, sure, everything. Mostly Garrett Brooks. that was the main one. Try.
Is it true that you used to bring him into the pub and get him to sing Garrett Brooks when he was small?
Yeah. He was super cute.
Just when I grew up, I lost all that. But you were a great supporter, though, Matt, when I was playing sport.
Yeah, one of the best.
Yeah, you got heated at pints, didn't you? Do you remember the time under 14 when I was playing against Portrow and their manager called me a fat bastard?
Yeah.
And what did you do, Matt?
Ah, well, now, I have to say, if anybody said that, like, you know, I would get really aggressive. Like, yeah, you know,
Nobody messes with your baby, man.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
One thing I couldn't take was that, like, because he was a bit conscious of his weight. And like, so was I, but anyway, you know, so I really didn't need to hear an adult saying that.
Yeah, that's wrong. So
I just jumped this fence. And before I knew it, I was swinging out of his back. Like,
she was after climbing up, yippee-ki-yay style, and she was hanging out of your man's neck.
You intervened.
And there was this man actually from Portrow, but he lived in Roscrea. And he just kept saying, Trisha, please, please, Trisha. Like, I just made a holy show of him, really. But anyway, no one talked to my boy like that.
Yeah. This is at halftime in the game.
Yeah. I was in getting the team talk, and our manager said, don't mind that, just handbags.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone just, Jesus, I think they wanted to call it off. But
And who won the game?
We won. I scored around 2-2, but yep.
Yeah, I think I just got him revved up. Because usually, like, you know, at the matches, like, he was just kind of, he won't get into the tackles or anything like that. And I really want.
You're saying he was soft, is it?
A bit of a pussy, yeah.
Any chance you'd come and shout him on when he plays for Cairn?
You see, I just wanted sometimes to shake him, like, you know, but like when he get the ball, he would drive it.
Yeah, did he have a bit of skill now when he was young?
Yeah, he's very skillful, yeah, I have to say.
I got sent off, man, in a North under 14 final. And how long?
Talking about.
Yeah, you were a disgrace.
What did he do?
Yeah.
What did
he do? He went to hit a little boy, way smaller than him, a headbutt. Now, he reckons he just shaped up to him with his helmet, but I don't know.
To this day, I tell you, if there's anybody listening to this podcast who was at that under 14 North final in 2005 in Clochjordan, I did not headbutt him. I merely put my head out to gesture and he hit the deck and I got sent off.
Because this little boy was able to run rings around him and he didn't like it. That's what it was.
What do you make of this whole two Johnnies thing, Trish?
Ah, I love you. I think you're hilarious. And I really do. I'm so proud of him now.
Because you must have thought there for a couple of years, like, this fella is going to end up homeless, like.
Yeah. This fella is going to end up asking me for money for the rest of my life. But I have to say now, he broke out and he even got me a good present for Mother's Day.
Go away.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got your voucher.
Yep. For a facial. That. Although I could do a couple of thousand euros in.
In a car.
I couldn't afford the Botox, man. Sorry. Mammy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much for coming on our podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mammy Smacks. Into the meat and two veg. Topic number one, Johnny. Going to college, is it actually necessary?
No. It's a load of dirt.
Dirt.
look. My issue with college, right? We're doing this because the CEO results came out this week, Mara. Isn't that right?
The CEO deadlines. Yeah, people applying.
Yeah, basically it came out this week what courses people are applying for. So it seems that the numbers applying for college is slightly down, but they're putting that down to the fact that there's not as many mature students going back to college because they all have jobs now because the boom is back.
Hey.
But it seems to be that there are people wanting to do steady jobs like teaching and that kind of thing. But
handy jobs.
Is it worth going to college, lads?
Is it worth going to college? I tell you, we're going to wade into that just on mature students. They're the fellas who sit in the front. Is it ask all the questions? Yeah, we all know them. Jesus. My experience from college is I went to college, done a year and dropped out. So, I mean, I'm not one to be preaching about college. But I think the problem lies in the actual CAO. So you apply to a course, you have no idea what the course is.
You have no idea.
You get no information. And then the CAO offer pops in the letterbox. And you have 3 days to make up what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Oh, biomechanics in minute. Yeah, sure. You know, I did woodwork. I'll give that a go.
Yeah, I just cannot understand it.
No, I here's my proposal now. If you want to do something, you want to do a course or whatever, you should be forced to shadow a professional for the whole summer. Because his dad's going out saying, I'm going to do construction management, right? And that sounds nice. It's like, you know what I mean? Do a few sums there, tell the boys what to do. I dare any 17-year-old coming out of school to go onto a big building site and try and be middle management with every chippy and sparky abusing you from a height and dropping red bricks on you whenever you walk past. You won't be too long about going back teaching.
I think, and hear me out here now, here's the proposal. This is going to change.
He's shooting from the hip now.
If the Minister for Education is listening, we should move transition year from 4th year in school to after you do the Leaving Cert. So you have a year there going to Ballybunion and doing kayaking and stuff, but you do your work experience in that year.
And you're old enough to drink.
There you go. Transition year with drink.
Can I throw a highball in?
Go on.
Oh, lob it in.
Ooh. Right. I was watching Lairca Gael during the week and on it was Graham Garrity. Yeah. And you know the way at the end of the programme they ask, what would you do differently? What would you go back? And one of the things he said was he would have hit the books a bit harder in school. He left school without kind of having going to college and he found it very hard later on in life to kind of find a job because he was, you know, when you're a GA player, you kind of get handy jobs like working as a rep and all that stuff. And kind of when...
No comment.
But yeah, it was one of, like, you do have to get a qualification though, like at something.
Yeah, I know I'm always messing stuff, but like seriously, that idea of the transition year, it doesn't have to be called transition year, but I definitely think, like you do work, like I see when I used to work in Super Value, kids in transition year coming in on work experience to Super Value. Now, Super Value is a great place and like, you know, I worked there for 4 years and all that, but I don't think any kid in transition year's life goal is to work in Super Value. So why come on work experience there then?
Yeah.
You know, because like in my eyes, I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be an Irish and history teacher or a primary teacher. And that was what I wanted to do.
Why?
The holidays. No, I genuinely, I liked Irish and I liked history, and I just wanted to be a teacher. Like, it's a good job and it's pretty steady if you can get a job, to be fair.
I don't know. Back on the work experience thing, yeah, it's an absolute joke. Going in stacking shelves there, I think you may go out and do something where you don't get paid, but we might actually learn something. And at that age, she had no idea.
Yeah.
And you're too young. You can't be given anything to do.
No, I worked... From my work experience in transition year, I did transition year. I went to two schools. I done PE for 2 hours a day in one school. And then in the other one, I shadowed a teacher. And then she called in sick one day. So I was left with four class.
And what age were you?
I was, I'd say probably 15, 16. Mature though.
And you were teaching four class?
Four class,
yeah. In Drumakeenan?
Yeah, Drumakeenan.
County Offaly.
Like unsupervised?
Ah, your man would knock in every few minutes. I should probably shouldn't be saying that, or school be shut down tomorrow or something. But yeah, like I wasn't properly teaching them, but I was kind of going over what they did yesterday and making sure that none of them escaped from the classroom and went missing and that kind of stuff, you know. So basically,
crowd control.
Chaperone, yeah, I was a student.
Right there, folks, please. But yeah. Well, whatever about transition year or something, you have to, the year out, I'm a big fan of the year out.
Yeah.
But the thing about the year out is most people, if they get a summer job, they just stay at that summer job for the year out and say, I'll save money for college, which is grand. You need that money. You need a few pounds. But again, you come out of that and you still don't know what you want to do. And you're picking a course. And I remember going to open days. Well, when I was in school now, I wasn't allowed to go to any of the open days because I never told my mother that now. That I was barred from going to college open days. We went to the first one and got in trouble, and you know yourself.
Snowballed from there.
Like, went down to Waterford and your mum was saying, oh, you want to do, like, whatever, quantity surveying. Oh, 400 lads starting first year and only, like, 50 of them qualify. It's a real tough course. And I felt like saying to him, you must be one useless lecturer. Mm. Or the system is wrong or somebody's wrong if that's all who's qualifying.
Yeah.
Like, in my experience, I obviously filled up my CEO with all the teaching courses. And then, just in case, my Leaving Cert went tits up, which it did, I threw down legal studies and sport and recreation, both in Waterford. And they were the only two offers I got when my CEO came in. Thanks to Tipperary GA for that. But
Sabotaging
my Leaving Cert. But it came in and you've literally got a day or two to pick which course. Now, mature me now looking back would have repeated the Leaving Cert.
I want to step in there.
Definitely.
Johnny Smacks is not mature.
But I definitely would have repeated the Leaving Cert. Instead, I was so hell bent on getting out of home. I think that's a massive thing with college. People just want to get out of home. You just want to live on your own, a bit of independence. That drove me to move to Waterford, and I'd done legal studies, like, and I swear to God, I had no break in the fucking law is all I'm good at. But, like, you know, not practicing it. But I had no interest in the course. I just done it to get out of home. And my mother done a great deal with me. She said, right, you pay for your first year in college and I'll pay for any year you do after that. I'll pay for everything. Mm. Sure, I never went back after the first year. And I was a few grand down. So.
Yeah.
But you got to move out of home.
I did. I got to move out of home. Ah, hey, it was some crack. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm. With, like, absolutely. I lived in Manor Village there. So I got more fines for rubbish. And geez, we wouldn't empty the bins. I moved in September. I think I changed the sheets in January. They were,
oh,
they nearly got up and walked off the bed.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And you can imagine now a fella in college. You can imagine what goes on in college accommodation.
Drive it.
There was fair driving done now, to be fair.
This is too much information.
Sorry, lad. Sorry.
This podcast is over 18s, lads.
Yeah. I do think, but there's one thing that I do think, that I think is important for young people to realise as well, is that there is an awful lot of pressure that comes from parents to say that, oh, young Johnny's going down the road to college, sure, why aren't you going to college as well? And, like, I think of my sister, right? She, like, she was mad to get out of, like, you know, go spread her wings, and she just ended up doing event management in Dundalk in IT. And, like, Claire could no more event managed than, you know, I could.
She couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery.
Yeah, she's just, that's not her skill set. Yeah. You know, she's a people person, and, like, she's a lovely job now as librarian assistant, but, like, I think she was just, you know, everybody's going to college. You feel like you have to follow the herd. Like,
yeah.
So I think she would have been just better off taking a year out and doing something else.
I think we'd be in agreement that it's going to college is almost You have to conform to society. It's the done thing. It's like getting married and having kids. You know, it's seen as you have to go to college. I mean, I think in Ireland, we're streamed wrong for it. We're kind of set up wrong. Like, we're not looked at as in, okay, what's your talents? What are you good at? I mean, if somebody's good with their hands, you know, you wouldn't tell them to be a scientist, like, would you?
Yeah, it's what did you get the points for?
Yeah, what you get the, like, the points race is an absolute joke. America, they don't get many things right, but their college system is pretty right.
And burgers.
That and burgers and milkshakes as well. I'll throw that in.
Ribs.
There. Ribs. Good ribs as well. We're going off topic here,
milkshakes,
Johnny.
Milkshakes, the odd time now.
Milkshakes. You're throwing me off here, Johnny. I was in a flow there.
No, but yeah, you end up doing, you're picking topics like completely out of your hoop. Like, what'll I do? Why'll I do? But moving out of home, that's it. Like, that's why lads go to college. Some fella's 17, I was 16 doing my leaving cert.
Oh, God.
Sure, you couldn't be going down to Cork on your own there, down to LIT, UCC, one of them places.
But I really think Irish kids go to college, like, they go to college too early.
Yeah.
Like, and they don't have a clue.
The gap year is a big thing in the UK, yeah. But it's not here. I don't know why that is.
But, like, it should be, because you do have to go and try different things. Like, so I went from school to college, then I went into a bacon factory. But, like, what I actually should have done was been given a week in the bacon factory and I'd have fucking stayed in college, I can tell you that much. But these are my points. Get the gap year. Bring in the gap year, lads.
Lad, it's all about moving out of home. And why lads go straight to college is because Irish people want to go where their friends are going.
Yeah.
The boys are going to Cork. I'm going to Cork. What'll I do? Arts. Oh, grand.
Following the herd is alive and well in Ireland.
Yeah. But it's all, now when I moved out of home, I had an apprenticeship. Because I didn't go to college. Not that I could have, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I was clever enough, like, but... And I was living in a little town in County Meath called Dunshaughlin.
Yeah.
So anyone who knows it, it's fairly depressing.
Did you go to the Vortex or the Sticky Floortex?
The Sticky Floortex, yeah. The Scoretex, yeah. And that was a great house. And one thing about our house is it was a fair bit of pints drank at the weekend now. But I was in a band up there and we'd get up Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, and we'd jam all day. And nighttime... If people knew we were having a session, we had a giant Ireland flag, a big tricolour. We used to go out into the front lawn and hammer it down into the front lawn. And that's how the neighbours knew, the boys are on it. Lock up your daughters, lock the windows. It was a big windy estate. And if you're saying to people in a taxi, where do you live? Look out for the house with the massive tricolour. And the neighbours never complained because they thought we were in the Ra. We weren't, like.
Disclaimer. Johnny B is not a member of the Ra.
No. That was great. Now, we found there was a spare bed out in the shed, and I made a bench out of it. And we all sat out in the bench out the back garden. Great experience living in that house. You learn to cook for yourself for the first time badly.
Mm. You still haven't answered my question. Is it essential to go to college? So look at it from a business owner's point of view. You're looking like the days seem to be gone where people could work their way up. Yeah. Within a business, there has to be some form of a diploma, a night course. There has to be something.
I do think there's
apart
no
from
point,
comedy,
yeah. But there's no point in doing a course and something if it's not what you're passionate about. The hard thing to do when you're 17, 18 is figure out what you want to do with your life. Mm. So, like that, maybe that's why a gap year would work well. And like, you don't have to know what you want to do for the rest of your life, but know what you want to do for the next 5 or 6 years
in the medium term.
Yeah.
We get so many people saying to us that they want to be a YouTuber or something.
Yeah.
My answer to them is no.
No, no.
Turn back. This is a dark road.
Do it as a hobby, I would say. Maybe not a career. But if there's anybody listening to this podcast and they're in sixth year, they're worrying about pints and all that. Listen, there's more to life than pints. You can drink them at the weekend.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, CEO, don't be worrying, like, you know, there is backdoors into everything, but if you're thinking of choosing a career because it sounds like a good job or the money's good, it's handy enough to get a job in that.
No.
Forget about it, lads.
Yeah. Rubbish.
Do something which actually makes you happy. That would be my advice. Is college essential? I don't know if college essential, but education is definitely essential.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd be a fan of the night course now.
Yeah.
Never did one.
No.
Just, I like the idea. I done
a part-time course to become a professional butcher. I did it in DIT, 3 days a month, for 18 months. So I went back to college as a mature student. I didn't ask any questions, though. Fuck, I kind of just breezed through it. And then as the two Johnnies took off, people in the class were starting to kind of look at me and go, fucking seeing you somewhere else. And then by the end, I had like, the day I got the diploma was the day I handed in my notice, I think.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so.
And did your work pay for your course? Or?
Yeah.
So a big thanks to Brian and John.
No, but honest to God, on a pure serious note, they were absolute legends about it. Like, you know, they sent me up and really looked after me. And like, it kind of got to the point in work where like Brian said, you know, what's the crack? Like, we were getting busier. Things were starting to happen for us. Like, so he said, are you thinking that we're taking holidays in September? And I kind of paused and he said, do you think you'll be here in September? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, we'll have to have a chat there at the end of the week. I was like, grand. So. But they were class. They really did look after me.
You done nothing in there anyway. That's
man, will you stop? I ran the show in there.
You done nothing.
Absolutely. I ran the show, man. Main man. See.
You're like McGregor claiming he runs New York now.
But people. I'll get on to him later on. But on a serious note, people think a butcher just chops up a bit of meat. Lads, it's a show. It's a show. How are you, Bridie? You got the hair done. Oh, you're looking lovely. You're looking delightful. You'd be, that's just keep the women happy, the men will follow.
See that bit of bacon? I had that put aside for you.
That's a flaking bit of bacon.
I knew you'd be in. You know, the old tail end roast. I knew she'd be in.
Oh, that's it. I keep them all happy, lads. And if you keep the wives happy, the husbands are happy, everyone's happy. But there we go. That's the line, isn't it? College isn't essential. Education is. Lads, get yourself educated. Kids, if you're listening, this podcast's over 18. You shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But stay in school. Happy?
All right.
Have we dealt with that? That was, I tell you, that was an adverse way of getting around it. We had milkshakes, ribs, burgers, fucking living in Dunshaughlin. Johnny was in the rah. Yeah. But Jase, will you go to college for yourselves?
Maura, you actually went to college. Yourself and Johnny have no right to be talking about this. You went to college.
Yeah, I like...
How many years?
I did a 4-year degree.
4 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, here.
Yeah, but 3 years is definitely enough for... So I went to an IT, so if you want to do an honours degree... You have to do 4 years, whereas if you went to a university, an honours degree is 3 years. I think they've changed that because it's purely stupid. But I ended up, I think I got my fourth choice and I wasn't really sure about it because I was a bit like, oh, I'm going to an IT, like, ooh. Yeah, and then
what will the neighbours say?
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear about that girl down the road? She's going to an IT.
Or my dad was like, sure, go back. And I told him how many points I got and then he's like, would you go back and sure, just... You know, a little more work and you get medicine or something like that. I say, Daddy, do you think I'd be a doctor in a fit? Like, not a hope. Like, so anyway, I ended up doing journalism and Irish and DIT and I loved the course. I absolutely loved it. Really nice people. The only thing was, and I think this is important for college choice, right? So I went to a secondary school, an all-girls secondary school, and then the college course I went to was 25 females, 5 lads, and not one of them were good looking. It was just like, oh.
You want to try and do a butcher's course?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I'm nearly fancying the lecturer and he was a fella at the end of it. It was tough. But lads, stay in school. And don't worry if you don't go to college. The boom's back. Apprenticeships are back.
You were having dirty thoughts about chicken fillets.
I was looking at lamb in all the wrong ways. Okay, lads. We're about to brighten up your day. We're about to brighten up whatever day of the week it is you're listening to this podcast. He's in the building, lads. He's pulled up. He's parked his Cortina outside. Creamy pint lover, local news hound, also wanted by the FBI. Noel Furlong, lads, it's that time of the week. It's Noel's News!
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! Well, young fella.
All right, Noel, how are you? It's good to have you back.
Yeah. Only good thing about this podcast.
You?
Noel, yeah. 3 ye fools. You've a young girl ruined.
She was lovely before she knew us.
Yeah. She's any sense now she'd go back to me, get away from me.
Noel, we're looking forward to your news this week. Well, I'm kind of scared at the same time. I'm sure a lot of people, if they're listening in cars, have probably pulled over at this stage.
Shut up, you, right? Welcome to the men's room, Johnny. Now, I'm going to California.
Really?
Not me, you ginnet. The news. Story number one. American singer Katy Perry is suing the nuns. Jeez. Now, you didn't know that.
No.
Smart Alec. Huh? Going on in the shorts, in the merch. I'm telling you, in the morning I'll get you, you pup. Right? She bought a convent in California. Do you know how much she paid for it? $14 million. $14 million. That's about £100 in euro. Now, she tried to buy the convent. And the nuns who were living there, Sister Catherine Rose and Rita Callinan, no relation, right? They said, we're not selling the convent to that scut, Katy Perry, or Courtney Perry, of course, Askewelge. They said, you know Katy Perry, she has songs like I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, and her other hit, You're So Gay. So they didn't fancy it. That's one of her songs, I know, yeah, I know. Now, they sold it to some lad who runs a restaurant, and the government stepped into court and they said, you can't do it. Can't do it. And they gave Katy Perry and the bishop 10 million in damages. 10 million. Yeah, the nuns did not get consent of the bishop, and he was afraid they were going to turn into a Supermax or something. when you heard restaurant. So, now the nuns said, Katy, call out, met the nuns. And she showed him she's got a tattoo of Jesus. She's got a tattoo of Jesus on her. Now, I don't know what part of it's on. I wouldn't be that close with Katy. We'd be friends, but you know. And she even sang him a hymn. She even sang the nuns a hymn. And the nuns said to her, Katy, think you're smart. We found your videos. Like she's trying to fucking hide him on her. Somebody put the nuns on YouTube. And they said, they don't want it. Right? And it wasn't going to happen. And what happened during the week? Didn't Sister Rose die? Honest to God, 89 years of age. So it's all held up and they're saying it's not going to go through. But I'll tell you one thing, 14 million. Does the church like money? Does Brian Cody wear a hat? You me guarantee that sale is going through. You know what I mean? Them nuns.
There'll be parish priests all over the country sleeping on a bed of money.
Mother of God. Now, my second gripe of the week, back in America, there's a man over there by the name of Donald Trump, another prick. He's okay. Got a restraining order against a porn star. That's a fact.
Is it a fact?
That's a fact. You scut. You donkey. Now, first of all, I take issue with this term porn star, because... She says she acted in a porn, right? Like, Paul is acting in Fair City for 20 years, but he's not a star, is he? This girl, she only opens her legs two or three times and she's a fucking porn star, right? She goes by the name of Stormy Daniels. Now, she sounds like a bad country singer to me. Lads, I looked her up. I got the young fella to get her up into Google. She's not great.
No?
She's not great. Now, she does have the biggest pair of hammers I've ever seen. She looks like she should be hooked up to a milking parlour. I swear to God. So, she claims that she had a relationship with Trump in 2008. And, you know, a relationship, like, isn't it lovely when a porn actress in her 20s falls in love with a 71-year-old millionaire?
That's true love.
That love. That lovely. That lovely. That lovely.
There's hope for you yet, Noel.
Oh, lad. I'd be an old stag, me. I'd be an old stag, right? So, Trump and herself had an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, and she said Trump never signed it. Johnny Smacks is nodding away there as if to say, oh, I know what an NDA is. I've been out. He's been out of town. So, Trump never signed it, and she's bringing him to court. She's going suing Trump. Why is she suing Trump? I don't know. Something went on. And people want to know, what do people want to know? They want to know, what kind of a man was Donald Trump in the saddle?
The world needs to know.
I'm going to be honest. I think he'd be greedy.
Yeah?
I think as soon as he'd be up in her, he'd spill the beans and he'd be gone.
I had my fun and that's all that matters.
Did you ever see the wife, Melania?
She's all right.
She don't look happy. No. She don't look happy. Now, she is all right, but she's about 35 years younger than him.
Yeah.
He's buying a book for someone else to read. You know what I mean? She's getting it somewhere.
She's getting it somewhere.
She's getting it somewhere, lad. Somebody has to get it. So that's my second story of the week. Now, local story. I always like to add in a local story, of course. This week, the big news around town is Frank Maloney have a new woman. Now, I met her last night and they all said to me, lad, whatever you do, don't go near Frank's woman. Don't talk to her. Don't look at her. Don't breathe on her. Frank is happy. He's nice to everybody. He's in good form. He's obviously emptying the bag. You know what I mean? So I met Frank up at the bar, and he said to me, this is her. This is Denise. He said, did you meet Denise? I said, no, but I met the nephew.
Jesus Christ.
So Denise is from Tullamore. Now, any woman to make it out of there alive is not to be trifled with. And she's a vet, which is also suitable because Frank have a yoke between his legs I could only describe as a sledgehammer. I swear to God, he could crack a chestnut with that yoke. Now, I know St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and but I tell you, if you ever seen Frank having a shower down the dressing rooms, you'd say, I thought all the snakes were gone out of Ireland. I swear to God, if that joke got a hold of you, it'd be like the bite of a rat. To be like the bite of a rat. He very developed. I was in school with Frank Maloney, right? And I remember him making his communion. He had a hairy bollocks.
How did you know about his bollocks?
Sure, weren't we all hurling together? Communions were different in those days.
I don't even want to say what's going through my head now.
You know what I mean? And when he was a boy, he was a man. You wouldn't mess with Frank. You wouldn't make fun of Maloney. He had a fist on him. It was like a kick of a mule. And some people out in Maloney's place said that's why America never invaded Ireland. They were afraid of Maloney. That's a fact. Now, you know, I was only talking about Trump. And you know them Trumps. He's a bad bastard. That fella, I was in school with his brother Tony.
Tony Trump? you've done it again.
Tony Trump, another shyster. I used to pick on him a small bit now, to be honest. And his father was the same. The father to Trump, Trump's father. And not many people know this, but Trump's father, his uncle, was a nephew of Pontius Pilate.
Oh, my head is hurting me. Pontius Pilate. Oh, stop. Stop it. You're not normal.
That's right. Trump's granduncle murdered our lord. He bet him up and down Jerusalem. Bet him up and down Jerusalem. Yeah, and not many people know that. Not many people know that about him.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
They're a bad lot, them Trumps. They're a bad lot. But I've been reading the Bible and I found that in it. So anyway, Frank is bringing the woman out to meet the mother. And that's serious now because there's only two things in this world that Frank Maloney is afraid of. His mother and personal hygiene. Oh, he's a dangerous man, not to be trifled with. So we were all delighted for Frank. Frank is finally he's back in the saddle.
Brilliant.
And he's letting off, he's emptying the valve. The pressure was in the red.
Oh, Noel, I don't know how you expect me to do the rest of a podcast after you doing this to me every week.
I think I have no more news for you now, Arnie. Cornell is going well.
Jeez.
Cornell is going well. I met Carney during the week. Cornell is going well. He got him a little ball. Right. He got Cornel a little ball. And you know, I was saying to Cornel, trying to get the ride off the big bitches, but he can't. You know, he's able to get up on them. So, in pure sexual frustration, he's all the leather gone off the ball.
He's tearing up beer mats as well,
oh,
is he?
Oh my God, he's like a demon going past. He's like a fucking dog.
Literally a dog. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed Noel's News.
Now, for our next special guest on the show, we've brought along the one and only woman, Johnny B's Mammy. Maura O'Brien, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me here. What do you want me to say? God knows what you're going to ask me, but anyway.
To our swanky abode, our lovely office. So how was your Mother's Day? Did you enjoy your Mother's Day?
Great Mother's Day, yeah. Enjoyed all the chocolates and flowers and visitors. And
that we got sent for free. At least I didn't try and pretend that I bought him. I owned up that I got him for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a lovely family dinner and was grand. Yeah.
And who cooked dinner?
Mammy.
No. There you go. Proper order.
Did you cook dinner on Mother's Day?
It was the only way to get you all together.
So people are going to know by your newsreader voice that you're not originally from Tip.
I'm originally from Dublin.
Yeah, you're talking like Anne Doyle now, I'll tell you. There was an incident of sexual assault on the dart.
You're making me nervous now. Okay.
So I was saying last week you met Dad, and is it true that your first date was at a GA match?
Exactly.
Who was playing?
Dublin and Armagh. 90, was it?
Let's see. In football?
Football.
All-Ireland semi-final, was it All-Ireland final?
Your father came in now, can't remember.
you were lost in his eyes, man. Is it?
Romance was alive and well on Jones's Road.
No, he just happened to have two All-Ireland tickets in his pocket when he came, when we had our first date. Yeah, imagine.
What, did he trick you with, like, speeches of dinner and wine? And just after finding these two tickets to the All-Ireland final now in my arse pocket.
Well, it went on from there, yeah. The usual.
Come here, I think people want to know, what kind of a child was I, Mammy, now?
Johnny was always a bundle of fun since the day he was born. He was a great child.
Was I now, yeah?
He came out with a guitar, I'd say, did he?
He was always singing.
Singing all the time.
Always singing when he was young.
And like, for anyone who doesn't remember Johnny before he had the lovely hair he has now, his famous hair, he used to have long hair.
And he had gorgeous hair, yeah.
And he had really blonde hair as a child.
Takes after me, yeah. We all have good hair.
Luscious hair. Now, did it ever bother you, his long hair?
No, and they never minded in school because he always tied it up.
Yeah.
Unless he was, you know, headbanging.
the old pop music.
The old headbanging, yeah.
Because we had this conversation in the car the other day, and I said to Johnny, if my son had long hair, I'd shave it off him.
Why?
I don't know.
It didn't do him any harm.
No, it was cool.
It was just his image, and he tied it up. A lot of the fellas had long hair. And once they were tied up and presentable in school, and he had his uniform, they were fine. They never...
And do you rather his new look now? Or
yeah, he's gorgeous now.
He's gorgeous, yay! Isn't he? That's it, boy.
That's going to be a soundbite now. That's going to be on the ad.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
And I never gave you any butter at all.
No. Always singing. I remember he was about two or three, and his uncle sent him this lovely little leather bomber jacket from America. And he used to put this on him, and he'd be singing... Love you, yeah, yeah, yeah. I have him on tape, and the old tape recorder singing that. I must find it someday, Johnny.
That'll be on YouTube now, any day.
Going around like Danny Zuko in a leather bomber jacket.
Always singing, and always into sports. Love school, love the crack, love the friends. School was great. And he always said, when he was in national school, he was the youngest, the tallest, and the best singer in his class. And he was.
And the best looking probably as well.
And you, great old nature. Great old nature.
I'm not a dog, man. And I never bit you.
Very loyal.
Well, it was an incident where I bit a fella, all right.
You did, yeah.
What was that you over again? Some,
yeah, you were having a row and you bit him on the nose.
In school.
Because your cousin had done it to you first.
Because the German bit me in the face one day, yeah.
Anyway, apart from that.
And the music, you used to drive us around to the gigs.
Yeah. He was in band since he was about 14, and we had great crack because we had to drive him, bring the gear, bring the lads. So we were there with our earplugs in at the back of the gigs, popping away with all the teenagers, having the crack. We'd wait outside then till they were ready, and we'd cart off everything home.
Myself and Gonzo on the boys above playing Creeping Death by Metallica.
Yeah, we'd be down the back with the earplugs in. I used to leave my hair growing down like that with the big earplugs. And now one day they thought they were great. They were very smart. They got a gig in a pub. We loaded up all the gear. They went in there, put up their amps. They were all there, all ready to go. And the woman found out how old they were. She ran them.
And what do you think of the two Johnnies, Mara?
Great. Great crack, yeah. You're great. Very proud of y'all after all the hard work. They put a lot of work into it. Nobody realises the amount of practice and the hours they spent out here.
You're on Snapchat now, ma'am, you are?
I'm on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and I can now do podcasts. So I have to keep an eye on these two boys. That's how I know what they're doing or where they are. I just check their Snapchat.
When we go on nights out, I block you on Snapchat.
Well, I often wondered. But you see, if I can't get you, I get on to Johnny's and then I know where you are.
I'll be blocking you from now on, Mara.
Thanks for cooking dinner on Mother's Day, and the tart was lovely. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Way. Hey.
So, it's the time of the week where we talk to everybody's favourite mead woman, Miss Mara. Mara, it's time for Mara's mystery topic. What have you got for us this week? And again, I must mention, we have no prep, no idea what Mara's about to throw at us, but fuck it, we'll go with it.
All right, lads. So, you know Emma Watson, Hermione Granger from Harry Potter?
I don't watch films that are make-believe.
Okay.
but
do you know?
Yes,
you know,
I know her, yeah.
I find that hilarious, as you are the most deluded man I've ever met.
Yeah, that's kind of like, you don't watch Harry Potter, really?
No, I've never seen Our Lord of the Rings.
Okay, right. Well, that's another podcast issue we'll revert to at a later stage. Okay, anyway, she was in the news for, she went to the Oscars and she had in her arm a tattoo that said Time's Up. It's part of the Time's Up movement, but people lost their mind because the tattoo didn't have an apostrophe. It should have been Time apostrophe S up, and there was no apostrophe. So people were like, oh my God, you idiot, you've gotten a stupid tattoo. So I'm wondering, lads, do you have any regrets of anything that you ever did to your body for style purposes? Bad tattoos, bad piercings, bad haircuts.
So this next 10 minutes is going to be all Johnny Smacks.
Where do I start? Tattoos.
Yes.
Right. So I have a big massive tattoo now at the moment, but my first tattoo I got the day I turned 18. My mother got it for me as a present. She said, what do you want for your birthday? I said, get me a voucher for a tattoo. So I got the bus down to Limerick from Ross Graham. He sent me friend Shane. Went down and just randomly looked through the catalogue like you would with an Argos book inside in the tattoo parlour. I flicked through and just said, that one. And it was like barbed wire, kind of. And it was meant to go around my bicep. But your man put it down too low, and you'll still see the outmarks of it there from the recent tattoo.
He couldn't find your bicep, was it?
Yeah, it wasn't my left hand I gave him. But that's definitely a regret. Then
you've been watching Braveheart or something now, getting the old tribal stuff on.
Yeah, like that's what it is. It's kind of a tribal tattoo, and it's scandalous, right? So I definitely regret that. Then I followed it up 2 years later with Arabic writing. Now, I wasn't to know ISIS were going to come, were going to get promoted, right?
Into prominence.
I wasn't to know at the time. And so I went into the tattoo parlour. I was in college at the time, obviously spending my time in college well by going and getting a tattoo. Went into a tattoo parlour in Waterford. And, jeez, I'm just thinking of what's
another
coming next.
Arabic stronghold.
Another, yeah. Big fan of the ISIS spies down there, they are. But I went in and I asked your man, could he write, I can and I will, in Arabic on my arm? And he said, I don't speak Arabic. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll Google it there. So I Googled it and put it on Google Translate and printed off the Arabic writing and got a tattoo in the arm anyway. And I was eating in a restaurant in Cair, oh, which is owned by an Algerian man. And he was looking at the tattoo and he said, oh, I speak Arabic. Let me see your tattoo. So I pulled up my sleeve and it was over the kind of tribal tattoo. And he looked at it and then he got a piece of paper and wrote it down as it was on my arm. And he came back to me and said, that means nothing. And I said, but what do you mean? Like nothing? And he said, no, no, no. It actually doesn't mean anything. He said, it's just jumbled up writing.
Gibberish.
Gibberish. So that was two tattoos. So third time lucky, I thought, I get a tattoo on my back. For some reason, this is so strange, but Shane Lynch from Bison. They were getting an award or they were getting something and he said, it was actually when Stephen Gately died. Mm. And he said, we live, we love, we leave. Which I thought was a class quote. So I translated it into Irish. And the grammar is wrong. Right? Now that's bad enough. So the grammar is wrong. So it says, we live, Bio Gwyn, something.
I'll get you a mirror.
Sira Gwyn. It's on me back anyway. But no, it's a lovely tattoo. It looks lovely and all that. But when I was printing that off to Google Translate,
how did you go back to Google Translate after the Arabic issue?
You said it earlier on, I'm the most deluded man in the world. What more? What do you expect? But wait,
could you not just ring your Irish teacher?
I should have. But I printed it out, right, gave it to your man and all. And then got home that night and was like, oh, that's class. And then one of the lads were like, it's missing an N. So Gwyn is spelled A-G-A-I-N-N. So the first two of Gwyn's are perfect, and then the last of Gwyn is missing an N. So when I printed off Google Translate, the N was missing, the page was too small. So you're asking, do I have any regrets, Mara? There's the regrets, that and every Saturday night.
Oh my God, I've got nothing to compare with that. I had an undercut for a couple of years, that's about it.
You had a ponytail for around 12 years, yeah, that's a fucking regret.
I had long hair for about 10 years, yeah.
But you don't regret that?
I don't know. Not really. I had long hair like doing my junior cert.
Yeah.
So I only got sensed there a while ago.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I said it to him for months. I was pestering him to get his hair cut, like.
Yeah.
And we eventually went in, Keelan, our mate's a barber, and we went in, and he cut Johnny's ponytail off. Where's the ponytail?
I have it upstairs in the bag.
No. No, honestly, he actually has the ponytail.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, give it up for a charity auction.
Somebody, some crazy person might want Johnny B's ponytail. Mara.
To make a voodoo doll. I dyed my hair purple once when I was playing a gig.
Oh my God.
Myself, Tommy Buckley, and Owen Doherty living down the road. We all dyed our hair purple. And mother was delighted.
Johnny, I have to tell you something. I think, like when I was like 15, 16, if I knew you then, there is no way we'd be friends, I'd say.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
I'd be too dark, moody for you.
Yeah, I don't think you smiled until you're around 22, did you? All your childhood photos is just you hating the world. With a Megadeth t-shirt on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the long hair and a big beard. That was your safety beard, you know what I mean? No one would mess with you and you'd look like that.
You couldn't get into the US. Barely got in.
Couldn't get into America. Oh my God, we'd some hassle getting into America. Because you go up and you scan your passport and you get on to the next level. But mine was like, that's not you. It's like, well, it is me. That's my passport. Big beard and long hair and the passport. Like Robinson Crusoe.
Eventually we got through. We got into Boston eventually. But yeah, Mara, they're my regrets.
Very good.
I have a list of them at home. I'll give you the rest of them next week because I tell you one thing. If there's one thing I have in life, it's regrets.
Yeah, what would you say now to a young lad? Like, lads start growing their hair around like 14, 15. You're into the old rock and roll. Because before you're able to put it in a ponytail, it's fair rough. It's fair messy. Like, I think I was working in Super Value, like, just after school and that. And the guy who owns it is from Limerick. And he was like, Christ, will you tidy yourself up, John? Because I'd only ever worked on building sites and stuff, and that was the first place where people actually saw me, and my hair was everywhere.
Yeah.
Thought I was David Beckham for a while, and then like some girl who was hot was like, oh, you should leave it grow out, that'll be cool. I was like, yeah, no bother, I'm definitely going to leave it grow out. Like, yeah.
Bradley Cooper, man.
Oh, Mara, we were only talking to Bradley Cooper the other day.
This is Bradley Cooper from Banshee. No,
do you remember he was in The Hangover and all, the actor?
Yes.
Before he was the main man, he was in loads of films. Mm. And someone said to him, like, you know, how did you make the jump? And he said, the director pulled me aside and said, you need to grow your hair. He had real short hair. It was about an inch.
Yeah, buzz cut.
He had the kind of straight up fringe, about an inch, like. And then he grew it out to maybe 3 inches. And he's got more character in his face now.
Yeah.
And I said, no. So I would say to people, you know what I mean? Get the flick.
It is worth, you know, going to a good hairdresser as well.
Yes.
You know, and, like, I do have regrets about dyeing my hair. I was blonde for a time and... Blonde wasn't too bad, but the red was very... I think the comment was Sellafield.
Yeah. Were you listening to Paramore or what at the time?
No, I think the boyfriend at the time was just like, oh, he said something like, oh, he's really into redheads. And then I stupidly dyed my hair. And then he was like, I'm not into redheads anymore.
Do you have any tattoos, Mara?
I don't, but I'm thinking of getting one.
Hey, what are you going to get? A big picture of two Johnnies. One on each knee.
Well, what I would like to get done, and it's only a notion because it'd be a massive commitment, is I did see a nice tattoo of a blue rose on a girl's shoulder. And I just thought it was quite cool. I like roses. I like blue. But it's a big commitment because I do have a tattoo that I regret. I don't have a tattoo that I regret, of a piercing that I regret. I have my belly button pierced. So I thought it was kind of a nice thing. And then, like, that was grand. And then I heard Frankie Boyle make a joke that the only reason men like belly button piercings is it reminds them of the staple they see in a porn magazine. So.
Jesus Christ. Trust Frankie Boyle on that one. See, the thing with the tattoo being visible there is girls say, oh, what about on your wedding day? You see,
yeah.
And the problem there is some young one walked down the aisle years ago with a fucking Playboy bunny tattoo on her shoulder and everyone just went, nah. At what point in somebody's life do they get a Playboy bunny tattoo? If there's any girls out there with Playboy bunny tattoos,
we're sorry, but we're not going to go on a date with you.
Go and see someone, I'd say.
Anything else you regret, John Boy?
Pearson's. Mara just hit the nail in the head there with Pearson's. So, jeez, I feel like this is nearly a therapy session for me at this stage.
Yeah, but let it all out, man. Yeah, let it all out.
This is the circle of trust, yeah?
You're in the nest.
I'm in the trust tree. Myself and my friend Robert Flynn, I'm nearly sure it was Robert, we jumped on a bus again and off to Portlaoise, went into this Pearson place, and Robert got something pierced. I don't know what the fuck he got pierced. I can't remember.
Nipple or something.
Probably something like that. And I got both my ears pierced.
Now, nice, nice. See,
I have no problem saying it. I am a massive fan of Westlife. Huge fan of Westlife, right? And at the time, I was channeling my inner Nicky Byrne. I was getting blonde highlights. And the difference between me and Nicky was, Nicky had both his ears pierced and I didn't. So
Yeah, that was the only difference between you and Nicky Byrne.
Well,
yeah.
Like, I can't sing and neither can Nicky, so it's grand. Hey! Just cutting myself down there again. But I got both my ears pierced and your man in the shop said to me, do not take out the silver studs for at least 2 weeks.
I love that Portlaoise accent.
Yeah, he was a true leash man, that fella. So I done exactly what he told me. I went across the road to the shopping centre, took out the silver studs, and put in two massive blinging diamonds.
Oh, God.
Now, I thought there was blood pouring everywhere, but it didn't matter because I had the diamantes in my ear. And I went back to Ross Grey.
What, did Nicky Byrne actually walk around with two diamond earrings?
Two diamond earrings, lad. But that, like, I thought I was cool because I had, you know, the eyebrow slit. I had the eyebrow slit on my left eyebrow and my two diamond earrings. And I went back to Ross Grey. The mother picked me up from the bus stop. She was driving up the road and she just slammed on the brakes and said, what the fuck is in your ear? I said, ma, I'm like Nicky Byrne now. I have two diamond earrings. She said, you're not coming into my fucking house with them earrings. So we made a compromise. I took one out. And
Which one?
I took out the right one. I think you're supposed to wear the earring in your left ear. I think it means something else if you wear it in the right ear.
But wearing a diamond earring, that's cool if you do it in your left ear.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. But I'm just going to throw it out there. If anybody's listening to this podcast and you've got bad piercings or dodgy tattoos, send them on to us on Instagram and Snapchat. Johnny B. Tipman, Johnny Smacks. You'll find us on the gram and Snapchat. Send them on to us. We want to see them.
We've gotten, of course, I got a lovely girl from Waterford sent me a snap on her holidays. She's got Chips Cans John Milan on her thigh. And
She's wife material anyway.
Yeah, snap her.
What's wrong with that?
Chips Cans John Milan. Oh, no. Yeah. Not for me. There's a girl in Carrick-on-Shore has a tattoo on her arse cheek and it just says Shamie Callanan. Yeah, just Shamie Callanan, nothing else.
We've seen it.
Shamie Callanan, I've seen it. There's also another tattoo a girl on a rib cage has up tip up riding.
To be honest, I think it looks class. I've seen that one.
I quite like that.
Yeah.
She's all right. Chips Cans John Milan, not so much.
I think it's cool. I think you just want a Stepford wife or something like that. So
If there's any girls out there who'd like to cook and clean and
Celebrity Housewives of Greg Nemanja. And we've seen another lad. He's got Tiptown is the best town tattooed across himself.
My God.
Now that is deluded.
I'd say they all got them in Magaluf. Or Santa Ponza.
One thing I left out from last week's podcast was, if I was Taoiseach for a day, what would I do? So apart from reviewing the national anthem and the guards' uniform and all that, the first thing I'd be doing would be bypassing Tiptown.
Jesus Christ. People at Tiptown are going to lynch you.
Yeah, grand. Bring it on.
Bottleneck.
I hate driving through Tiptown. Grand. It's terrible. Would you miss it, Maura?
I see. I've never been in Tiptown. So
oh, you haven't lived.
But because I take the motorway down here from Dublin, so where do you have to drive through to?
If you're going to Limerick.
Go through Bansha and then in through Tiptown and on to Limerick.
I've no problem with Bansha. Okay. I'm okay with, well, you know what I mean? As much as anyone can be okay with Bansha. No, driving through Tiptown is a disaster. That's Tiptown is not the best town.
Whoever the Minister for Transport is.
Shane Ross.
Shane Ross. Well, go on, Maura. Oh! Fuck, that's college. That's college for you, lads. Shane Ross, if you're listening, get the bypass up and going. Johnny B said he'll dig the foundations out for you.
Yeah, I love Tiptown, but just not driving through it.
Not driving through it. Okay, Maura, I tell you, we done well there now on that, didn't we?
You did.
I have an absolute lot of skeletons in my closet. And they're just coming out one by one. From a tattoo of Shane Lynch to...
a tattoo of a quote of Shane Lynch.
Sorry, a quote by Shane Lynch. I don't have a portrait on my back of Shane Lynch.
He does.
And a little speech bubble just coming out, just going, chicka-cha. that famous line from the Paisley song.
You'll have to show Keith Duffy that tattoo at the weekend.
Definitely, so. Definitely. No matter what they tell us.
He's got Ronan Keating's face on his arse.
That was Mara's mystery topic. Hope you enjoyed it.
Go on, Mila, Mara.
Don't forget, lads, to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast, and subscribe, as I said at the top of this program. Fight someone who doesn't subscribe, right? How does that sound? In an Aldi car park or Lidl, whichever. Other supermarkets are available.
Grease up.
Topic number three, Johnny.
Now, this came up. You know, myself and Johnny are fond of the odd creamy pint, Mara.
More like a night out. It's the dressing up for me. Yeah. Yeah, it's the dressing up for me.
He's not actually joking. It's the dressing up for Smacks.
Yeah, I'm like a woman. Like, I'd sit in now and I'd have the old docking station set up, the phone, like, and I'd have the tunes pumping and I'd be going around the place getting ready by happy out.
So that sketch that you did of you're getting ready for...
That wasn't a sketch. Johnny just set a camera up and me going out.
I was inside watching New York about dinosaurs. Smacks inside straightening his fringe.
I was inside having what is it? A mimosa. Is that
mimosa, yeah. The champagne and orange.
Champagne and orange juice. There you go, lads. I'm up notions. Why? That's hanging around Dublin too long.
Okay, so speaking of nights out, this topic was, if you could go on a night out with any three celebrities, who would you bring with you? Johnny Smacks. Number one.
You're coming to me first.
Go on, sure. I don't mind.
Right. I'd bring McGregor, Conor McGregor. Because I want to know, is he actually a prick? quite simply, I think he's very un-Irish. He's carry on now. You know, I see two sides to him. So when he was on the Late Late, he came across really well. Family man, you know, and he was quite humble. And then you go on his Instagram or Facebook and he's standing on top of a Bentley with a load of fucking money. And I just think...
You know, you just wouldn't see Jimmy Buckley doing
that. No, no, no. Irish people like to see you do well, just not too fucking well. Don't be showing it off too much.
Yeah. Well, like, because I work in the Late Late Show when I'm not producing the Two Johnnies podcast. And I had Conor McGregor as a guest. Lovely person, lovely, lovely family. Dee is lovely as well. And he is a really nice person. I think the Instagram stuff is just kind of marketing. I don't think it's...
He's calling out 50 Cent now at the moment.
Yeah.
Do you know, like...
You know, 50 Cent's been shot a lot of times and survived.
I think that's just for the sake of publicity. Yeah. Like, you know.
Come here, lad. 50 Cent is not a fighter. Do you know what I mean? That's like Tiger Woods. You know what I mean?
But I'd say...
Calling out Daniel O'Donnell. It's not the same thing.
I'd say 50's handy with a fucking AK-47, though.
Oh, he's no fool.
He knows his way around the shooting range, I'd say, 50. Huh?
You know what I mean?
And McGregor was saying he's big tits. He said about 50 Cent. Jesus, lad, I thought he was in terrific shape. I'll have a fucking body complex by the end of this podcast. But yeah, McGregor would definitely be my first guest. A fascinating man. And what he's done, obviously, in his sport is unbelievable. And I'd love to be quizzing him and all that. And I say he's some crack as well. Like, I'd say when Maniac 2000 comes on now, I'd say McGregor's giving it loads. Like, he's still doing nothing, yeah? Play Maniac 2000, yeah? So that's McGregor's my first guest.
Okay. My first person that I'd bring with me on a night out would be Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman?
The actor.
He's old, man. Where would you bring him?
Anywhere. he just narrate what's going on for the night. It was around 11:45 when Johnny Smacks and McGregor started arguing over their favourite Fleetwood Mac album.
I love that. Can you do your Micheál Ó Maith, please go on.
We wanted I should have him on my list. He's actually old now. Micheál Ó Maith just needs to commentate on Everton, like.
Yeah.
The first time I met Andy Dufresne, I didn't think much of him.
Do you remember the time we met him?
He was a lanky fella, hurling corner back for kick-ems.
Do you remember we met Micheál?
We met Micheál Ó Maith walking down on the way to Jones's Road.
Yeah, we were going to the All-Ireland football final, or hurling final. Hurling final. And he was there and he gave you a class question. He
gave me a great anecdote. He said to me, Johnny B, he's a big fan of the Johnnies. He said, who was the first team to wear numbers on their jerseys? And I said, you know, funnily enough, Micheál, I don't actually know that off the top of my head. And he said, it was the last team you'd expect. It was the Donegal Hurlers in 1937 in an All-Ireland semi-final.
It was so strange meeting him, like, because I honestly felt like in awe. I don't think I spoke to him. We walked the whole way down with him, and I just stared at him like
we just soaked him up. Like,
yeah.
Oh, he's a legend. But come here, going back to Morgan Freeman. Just, do you want him to narrate the night out, or are you actually interested in his character?
I guess he's okay. He seems okay, but I just want him to have a megaphone and and follow us around as we go into it. Like,
yeah, you want to go up to the bar and he just go like,
he'd order your drinks for you.
Yeah. I'll have a creamy pint
and a boy, pack of bacon fries.
The boys are on the Bahamas.
So Morgan Freeman's your first guest.
Yeah.
Okay, my second guest for the night out would be James Corden. Mm-hmm. I am an absolute massive fan of Gavin and Stacey. Love it. And I think Corden would be some crack, right? Now, he looks like a fella who likes an old steak and a few pints. He's my type of man in that regard. He also sings. He's an incredible singer. He's a good singer. And, like, you know, at the end of the night, when some fucker in the corner starts trying to sing Caledonia, there's nothing as bad as some fella murdering a song at 2 o'clock in the morning, lads. I don't care if he's been drinking Linden Village since 6 o'clock on Tuesday. He shouldn't be singing in Caledonia. So I'd bring Corden. He could break into a few Broadway numbers, whatever. He likes a bit of Boys to Men. Who knows?
I think he'd be the kind of man you'd want to bring to a christening.
A christening?
Yeah, he'd be good crack during the day, and he'd be still good crack at night.
Yeah, I can definitely see James Corden sitting in our local, lad, singing The Gambler.
Yeah. You gotta know when to hold him.
When to hold him, James. I can definitely see it. And also, Gavin and Stacey, if there's any Gavin and Stacey fans listening to this, there's a thing in Gavin and Stacey where Bryn and his nephew go on a camping trip. And they keep referring to it in like most episodes. But nobody ever knows what happened on the camping trip.
It's like an inside joke.
Yeah, it's like an inside joke they never reveal. So I'd be asking Corden that. And I also love A League of Their Own. And I'd be trying to get me and Johnny on the show. And I'd say he's in Hollywood now, so I'd say there's a good chance he might have Margot Robbie's number. He might fucking send it on to me. She might do an old bit of ironing for me. He's my second guest. Johnny, your last guest.
Your
second guest.
Well, I had considered McGregor as well, just because I thought that like we'd get in everywhere and no one would start on us. Mm. And he might take the attention off us, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll substitute in Clint Eastwood.
Jeez, you're going to have to take these lads to an old folks home or somewhere that at least has straight seats, you know, proper seating.
Clint Eastwood is like 84 or something like that. He's out.
If
like,
Clint Eastwood says...
Lad, you'll be bringing them to Werther's Original Factory now or something.
If when that man stares at you, you do what he says, Johnny.
Yeah, he's intense.
If he says drink, you drink. You drink.
So you'd be bringing Clint Eastwood.
Imagine you go up to like the most exclusive nightclub in the world and they say you can't come in. Clint Eastwood just stares at him. Feeling lucky.
I like where you're going with this. So Clint Eastwood as your second guest.
Yeah, and I watched all his cowboy movies when I was a young lad. Yeah. All Pale Rider and Wyatt Earp and Fistful of Dollars and all them. And I just
the
wanted
Josie Wales. Yeah.
Oh, the Outlaw. Oh! Josie Wales. He keeps spitting at the dog.
Yeah. Who's he?
Josie Wales.
Have you not seen that?
No.
Lad, you've no education at all.
No bit of culture.
Is it one of them country and western?
Yeah.
Ah, fucking
not country and western, like, you know what I mean? Declan and Ernie isn't in it, like.
Declan Ernie kicking the doors of a saloon open.
The sheriff played by Nathan Carter. Wagon wheel, man. That's where wagon wheel came from.
Brilliant. So there are your two guests.
Yeah.
Okay. My last guest, Jerry Adams. Nah, I'm joking. OJ Simpson. I want to ask him, did he do it? No, I'm joking. My last guest would be, I've gone for a woman.
Yes.
You know, in the name of equality and tokenism. I've not due to the fact Maura said you better have a woman in this.
We're on the same page. Maura warned us we had to have a woman in our tree.
I tell you who I went for. I went for Christina Aguilera.
Right.
Now, you're probably thinking, why?
Damn, brother.
Yeah, Christina Aguilera, random pick. But there'd be only one stipulation. If she was to come on a night out, she'd have to dress like she did in the video Dirty. You know that song? Wanna get dirty, wanna get a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? She looked sensational in that.
What's she wearing in that video?
Chapless pants and a checkered miniskirt. Now, if anyone's listening out there, lads, bring back the checkered miniskirts.
And let's call a spade here. I say every young fella in the country used to be tearing himself to that video.
Lad, I was going through... When that came out, I was going through puberty.
Yeah. You'd be at yourself. And you'd have to try and be finished before the rap verse came in. The big black lad came in the video.
Damn, what? You can't like a Jonas Joe.
You'd have to be finished before he came in.
I can't believe you just said that in a podcast.
Or you'd lose the horn.
We're getting shut down, I'd say.
Can I just say as well that you would like her to be on your night out with you because of her personality?
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. She, and again, another good singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Good crack. She's on, I've seen her on, is it Jimmy Fallon? Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. Her and Will Ferrell doing a sketch together about tight pants. It's very funny.
Oh, I'll give that a look.
Is that not J-Lo?
No. The one I'm thinking of is Will Ferrell and Christina Aguilera.
All right, okay.
Yeah. So I'd definitely be bringing Christina Aguilera. So Christina Aguilera, James Corden, and I went for McGregor. They're my three guests for the night out. Johnny, your third guest.
Yeah, well, so Johnny said who he was going to bring, and I thought I'd just up the ante a bit. And my third guest is also a token female, and I'm going to bring Pamela Anderson.
For no other reason other than Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, I just want to bring Pamela Anderson, like, because when we were young now, see, RT is way behind the times, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She was well retired, like, and we were still watching Baywatch. And I mean, David Hasselhoff was getting the pension, but I'd say he was still running up and down the beaches of Ireland. And do you remember, they used to have the old reruns on, probably on a Sunday evening, and lad, we were still in primary school now, and you'd see big blondie Pamela running up the beach, one tit going one way, the other tit going the other way. Lad, she'd be tormented.
This podcast is taking a sinister turn.
I don't know, like, one thing I would say about Pamela Anderson, she's mad into animal rights, and I think she's possibly a vegan as well, so I don't know.
Jesus, Johnny. Gone.
I could be wrong in the vegan now, but...
Like, could she drink Guinness?
Oh, yeah, they took the fish protein out of Guinness Isinglass.
What? That's a disgrace.
Yeah, so Guinness is now vegan. So, yeah, she can drink creamy pints.
But look, I just would probably... Like, she's old now, and she probably looks pure bet, like, but I'd like to, I don't know, I didn't Google her now or anything, but I'm just thinking, wouldn't it be a great honour to be the only man from Tipperary ever to get off of Pamela Anderson?
If there's anybody who has got off of Pamela Anderson from Tipperary, contact us, lads, and if you have any proof, send that on as well.
But isn't it gas that, like, when we were young, you used to fancy young ones, like, who'd be movie stars, or pop stars, or whatever, and now, like, if I ask the boys, who do you fancy? And it's some Lithuanian arse model on Instagram.
See, the hoop is back.
The hoop is back.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
You know what I mean?
So,
nobody's thinking of the poor pop stars.
Poor, Jesus Christ. Posters on the wall is gone as well. She have a mobile phone now. You don't need posters on the wall. Johnny, there are your three guests.
I'll probably go for it. We start with Day Pints.
Yeah.
Obviously, Morgan and Clint would have to have a nap.
You have to bring them home to get their medication.
I'd like to go somewhere out the country where they wouldn't have to deal with the paparazzi, and nice creamy Day Pints, and maybe somewhere livelier in the evening, get Pamela going.
Yeah,
I was thinking I might bring Pat Fox, former tip hurler, but I'd be afraid he'd steal Pamela off me.
Oh, Pat's an absolute legend, boy. He got out of a taxi one night outside the Palace Bar in Dublin, boy, and he just played the crowd up. He lapped a tip at one in all Ireland, and he jumped out of a taxi, hurled his arms in the air, and they're all shouting, "On Pat Fox!" And he wasn't playing it down at all. Pat was loving it. He soaked it up and went inside, and we had a great crack.
Yeah, Babs Keaton was behind him releasing doves. Slow motion.
You're back, Pat, you're back.
Okay, I think that's it, Johnny.
That's it, yeah. I'd be bringing the boys for Day Pints, of course, and a nice bit of dinner. And we'd be on into a bouncy nightclub, lad, that plays Not Only Scooter till 4 o'clock in the morning. I want to live my life, Molly. That's it, boy. Scooter all night long.
DJ Sammy.
DJ Sammy, boy. DJ Sammy also playing in Edinburgh this weekend.
We'll see you there, boy.
Now, that brings us on to our yurts and dirts of the week, Johnny B.
My yurt of the week is, of course, local man Turnip Casey. His brother, Ronan, was part of the Irish team, and they won the All-Ireland, I suppose, the All-World, whatever you call it, the World Championship.
The All-World! Christ almighty, man.
They won the All-World tug-of-war.
Woo!
So in their weight category, I don't know how many lads are on a tug-of-war team now.
Hmm.
So
I think it's about like 7.
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
We're going to get a million and a half snaps about that now. Yeah. But so do snap us in your thoughts, lads. Well, Turnip's brother, he was driving up to Armagh to train. That's where they were training, team. And they went out to China, and they were pulling away, and they won the World Championships. So fair play to Turnip Casey and fair his brother. But Turnip wasn't on the team himself now.
Yeah, but it's Ronan.
Ronan's
fair play to Ronan, boy. Yeah. Good man yourself.
Pure ignorance, good man.
I'm not great in genetics, but I'd imagine 7 lads from Ireland pulling against seven Chinese lads. We have fucking handy enough lads.
They were pulling against the Netherlands in the final.
They'd be big men as well. Yeah. Well, fair play to you, Ronan. Okay, my yurt of the week is it's EastEnders. I've gone for EastEnders. Things heated up in Albert Square this week. Mick Carter, who's actually, it's Danny Dyer, plays Mick Carter. He was in a spot of bother in the Vic, but it all ended well. All's well that ends well. Phil Mitchell gave the Irish lad a box, and Mick held on to the pub. So EastEnders is my yurt of the week, lads. Check it out. Also, the UK Office. It's donkey's years old, but it's on Netflix, and I just completed watching it today. So that's my recommendation, lads. I recommended Derren Brown last week. Got a few snaps. People were freaked out. That's a good show. I'm recommending the UK Office this week, and their UK Office and EastEnders are my yurts of the week.
Okay, my dirt
I'm a complex man.
My dirt is, we were watching Gaelic football today, and a lad got a red card for Monaghan. He got pulled down to the ground, and as he was getting up, he drew a boot on the Galway fella. Now, the ref had to send him off, because you can't kick a fella. But it was the most harmless little flick. If it was a ball he'd have kicked, the ball wouldn't have travelled 2 feet. And the Galway man didn't make a meal of it right now. But he got it. He got the slightest boot, and the ref had to give him a red. And it's that. It's, I know it's cliche, but it's a man's game, and the ref needs a bit of discretion, Johnny.
There you go. I fully agree, John. Time to toughen up.
Yeah.
Tough. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Because I always see this in men's football.
No.
And like, you know this handbag stuff, right? Yeah. Like, you never see a lad throw a proper kick or a proper thump. Like, so why would you just do a little half kick? Like, it's a bit childish or something.
That's, well, I tell you now, like, I'm not one to talk, my disciplinary record's fairly poor.
Yeah, scandalous.
But if I had thrown the boot your man had today and the ref had shown me the red card, I'd have went back and hammered your man. I'd have been making sure, you may as well be hung for a sheep as a lamb. You know, go to whole hog, you're going to be suspended anyway.
I can just say, I actually remember that happening. Johnny Smacks got sent off for Care playing under 21 hurling. And as he was walking down the sideline, he realised that the fella he'd been in a fight with had only gotten a yellow. So he went back and started a fight with your man again, and your man got the line as well.
There you go, lads.
Sure, if I'm going, I'm bringing him with me.
There's a term for that. It's called game management. There you go, lads. Any young lads out there, if you want any advice on the dark arts of the game,
thuggery,
I'm your man.
Here, what's your dirt?
My dirt of the week is Liverpool losing to Man United.
Hey.
I'm obviously a Liverpool fan, and the rivalry is very intense. When I was younger in Rosscrea, we'd go to the pub and watch Liverpool Man United, and there'd be families divided, pure hatred. But it was great crack, and it brought back great memories of going to watch them games. But unfortunately, my team came out on the losing side, and I was very upset. I was throwing a couple of boots at the couch, and that's my dirt of the week. I was very, very, very unhappy.
So, lads, thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to leave an old comment and send us in your thoughts on this week's topics. Of course, rate and review and sign up to the podcast. Subscribing is the handiest way.
Just subscribe, lads. You'll get a little push notification. Isn't that what they call it nowadays?
A little ding.
A gentle push towards listening to the podcast. So, yeah, as Johnny said, rate, review, the whole lot. Anybody hanging around Edinburgh, we'll see you next weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Take it handy on the pints from me, Johnny Smacks.
Maura, how do we do this week?
Oh, really good. I have a little chocolate treat for you, so.
Hey! Yes! Yes! Lads, take care. See you soon.
Good luck, good
enjoy.
Luck.
Lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.